And you are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN, Astoria, 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5 FM. We stream live on the web at coastradio.org. And if you are out and about with a mobile device, you can also listen with the TuneIn app on your mobile device. Just type in KMUN. It's just coming up on 3 o'clock, and Arts Live and Local is next. Carol is gone today, so I'll be sitting in for her. My name's Roger Rocca. Glad you're with us. We've got a great lineup of guests, and we think you'll enjoy the show. All right, we're going to get right into it because we have with us part of the cast and the director of a show that is opening tonight. The Peninsula Players are opening your A Good Man, Charlie Brown, a show that promises to be lots of fun and that gives a couple of guys the chance to play six-year-olds. And how many opportunities do you have to do that?
Not many, and it's very fun.
Well, introduce us to you. Now, you are going to be Charlie.
Yes, I'm Robert Scherer, and I play Charlie Brown. And it's quite an exciting show. It's so kid-like, of course, and just having a real good time playing a kid again.
And we also have Linus with us.
Yes, John Adams and I played the part of Linus, Lucy's little brother. And, of course, I read Peanuts cartoons for years growing up, and it's been really fun to play a six-, seven-year-old kid again. It's quite an interesting and fun experience.
Now, is there anyone involved with the show who has a 95 crabbiness rating?
Well, it just depends on what day it is.
Or if you want to get slugged for admitting it.
How about the director, Rita Smith? Where is she on that scale? Rita is with us. Hi, Rita.
Hi. They don't want to get slugged.
So have you had
I'd say 51 on that one.
Have you had to do some slugging with this group, Rita?
No, I'm very blessed with a wonderful cast. All of them work very hard, and they pretty much do what I say. And they say, if I say jump, they say how high. So I'm really fortunate. My cast goes from age 8 to 80, so we have quite a broad spectrum of ages, and they're all just wonderful.
Well, I think everyone could guess that your Good Man, Charlie Brown, is based upon Charles Schulz's characters in the comic strip Peanuts. But not everyone may be familiar with the show. Can you kind of frame it for us and tell us what the show is like, what it's about?
Well, I actually listened to an interview with the original writers. They had it on a DVD extra feature, and they wrote it to appear like a comic strip on stage. Mm-hmm. So it's very little short snippets, and there's no real plot to the entire play. It's just supposedly a day in the life of Charlie Brown.
But right, you have a lot of vignettes, each one kind
right.
of focusing on a character, and you kind of develop that character and what they're all about.
Right, and some of them, like I say, are one or two lines, and other ones are a song and dialogue, and so it's been very challenging. Entrances and exits are mighty many. And so that part's been a little challenging, but it's so much fun bringing to life, like John said, the characters that you've known your whole life.
So, John, are you a method actor? Have you been working out with a blanket at home trying to get into character?
I actually have been working with the blanket at home, and I'm not exactly a noted dancer, but I do a little dancing in this one too, so I've been working on that and practicing my skipping too, actually, which
you and I could form a club, the Not Necessarily a Noted Dancer Club, because I belong in that one too.
I'm better now.
Yep. Practice, huh?
Yep.
Now let me emphasize again, the show opens tonight. Give us the time and the place and so on for folks who want to go and see the excitement. And it is exciting.
Opening night is very exciting.
The adrenaline is running. And, you know, the cast is all a little bit of sweat because you haven't done it before a live audience before. And so it's fun because there's really extra energy in a way.
There is.
So again, times and places and...
We're at River City Playhouse, which is in Ilwaukee, right across the street from the post office and next door to the Heritage Museum. We open our doors at 6:15 tonight. We have a champagne reception, and that's included with the cost of the ticket. And the play starts, the musical starts at 7 o'clock.
Right, and we should emphasize this is a musical and has some great songs in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing it to piano accompaniment?
Yes, Barbara Bate is my musical director. She and I have been working together since, I think, 2007. We've done like 8 musicals together, and along with some other smaller things. And so it's done with piano, and then we do have some sound effects that Penny Beerley does with, I've put onto my iPad, and she plugs them in when necessary. And
so you've got lots of sound cues to work with.
Yes, yes.
Nothing like adding complication just for the fun of it,
it's
right?
It's been a challenge sometimes to get things coordinated and get all the dances. It has more dancing than I had envisioned, but they've really stepped up to the plate and done very well with the dances that I've choreographed.
Do you have some favorite songs in the show? You know, there are songs that certainly people would be familiar with.
Well, Rita just mentioned stepping up to the plate. We have the baseball game, and that involves everyone in the company, and it is a very fun song, and so it's a lot of fun. And
ha, that's what you think, which is one of my favorite songs.
That
Sally
is one of
her,
my favorites as yes. well. Yes.
Her new philosophy.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
And our Sally does a fabulous job with it.
She does.
She does.
Yes.
Well, tell me a little bit about you. Rita, maybe start with you. Well, tell me about your background, how you came to this.
I was a school teacher for 30 years, taught mostly third and fourth grade, did a lot of drama, music in my classroom, and I always have been very musical, playing the piano and things like that. And I always thought I'd be in community theater when we had raised our family and I'd retired, and thought I'd be in a couple plays. Never dreamed that I would be directing a musical. But I was kind of, well, you know music, do it.
So, well, this is not the first show you've directed.
No, I've directed now, I think this is my 9th musical that I've directed. I've directed Camelot, MAME, Little Shop of Horrors.
Ate Retirement Grand last year.
Which
is funny because we all were, you know, talking about retirement and how much the joys and trials and tribulations of retirement last year at this time. And now this year we're all talking about, you know, sucking our thumb. And
Well, being a teacher for 30 years has got to be a great background for a director, because you've learned patience, perseverance, and a certain steeliness that I'm sure is required as well.
Probably. I think they know when I'm ready, and I always have my lists, and tonight will be the first time that I'm not making notes.
You've not made any of them stay after class?
I've had to come early, too.
Well, John, what about you? Tell me about where you're coming from.
Well, I'm a retired electrician. I've actually worked for a couple of local contractors at the end of my career. After we'd moved to the peninsula, we moved here in 1999. And Rita was actually our neighbor at one point. And my wife and I and she would walk our dogs in the morning up and down our lane. And we would hear about the latest goings on at the playhouse. And one day she said, well, we would need some people to sing in the chorus of MAME. And so I decided, oh, that sounds like fun. I did that, and I kind of did a couple other chorus-type roles, and that kind of sucked me in. And so now I was in Camelot, and I was in Little Shop of Horrors. And it's quite a fun hobby.
It is
what
a fun
I found
hobby.
Out, yeah.
You bet.
And I kind of gravitate towards the musicals. I like them.
Everybody who's done theater knows about the happy, sad closing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because every play is a family.
Yeah.
And at the end of every play, that family breaks up.
And you will see those people again, most likely, but never as that exact family.
Right.
It's a hard thing when a show closes.
Very bittersweet.
Yes.
So, Robert, tell me about you. What's your...
Well, along with a long-time career in the grocery business, I worked part-time with John, who is Linus. With him and his wife, they own Harmony Soapworks in Oysterville. And so he was practicing for one of the plays, and he said, you know, a couple people have dropped out. Would you be interested? And I had acted in high school many, many years ago. And so I said, well, you know, I'll give it a whirl. And boy, I can't do it enough now.
You remembered how much fun it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I've had the privilege of working with both of these fine people in many shows, and hope to in the future, too.
Well, the only trouble with being Charlie Brown is you never get to kiss the girl.
Right, right.
And that's been a disappointment to you, I'm sure.
A huge disappointment. But I do get a little peck on the cheek by Marcy, so that's good.
Well, how do you feel about the little red-haired girl?
Oh, she's just one of those things you keep reaching for.
And she's always just out of reach.
Exactly.
And always will be.
Exactly.
And has Lucy ever let you kick the football?
No, nope. And but she'd like to kick me a few other things.
Well, we're just kind of reminding you about the Peanuts characters, and you will meet them all again in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, which is opening tonight. The Peninsula Players are opening it tonight, and it will be running for how long now?
Three weekends.
You've got 3 weekends, and by weekend, it's Friday,
Saturday at 7, and Sunday matinees at 2.
All right, so the next 3 weekends, and that's at the River City Playhouse, which is in Ilwaco, at 127 Lake Street Southeast. And if somebody is not familiar with Ilwaco, can you kind of guide us there in our minds?
It's right across from the post office and next door to the Heritage Museum.
Which is just one block off 101, the main drag. So
just
very
toward
easy.
Toward the water.
Toward the water, yeah.
Well, thank you very much, folks, for coming by. I certainly enjoyed talking with you a great deal, and I wish you break a leg tonight.
Thank you so much for having us, Roger. We really appreciate it.
Yes.
All right, you're listening to Arts Live and Local on Coast Community Radio. Carol is not here today. My name is Roger Rocca, and I am sitting in. And we've got a lot of great guests for you today, just like you've just heard, with our three Charlie Brown representatives, Rita Smith, the director of the show, John Adams, who is playing Linus, and Robert Shearer, who is Charlie himself. And we hope you'll go and check out that show. So let us get ready for the next guest, who will be coming up in just a moment.
I go out walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, just like we used to do. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you. I walk for miles along the highway, well, that's just my way of saying I love you. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you. I stop to see a weeping willow crying on his pillow. Maybe he's crying for me. And as the skies turn gloomy, night winds whisper to me, I'm lonesome as I can be. I go out walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, just hoping you may be somewhere on walking after midnight, searching for me. I stop to see a weeping willow crying on his pillow. Maybe he's crying for me. And as the skies turn gloomy, night winds whisper to me, I'm lonesome. Out in the moonlight.
right, back again with Arts Live and Local on Coast Community Radio. And with us now is Julie Amici, and she and Mary Cameron are going to be joining forces next weekend in a musical tribute to a couple of country artists who I know you know, Loretta Lynn and Patsy Cline. And they're going to be doing that in the Halem at the North Coast Recreation District Performing Arts Center. And that will be next Friday, March 21st. So, Julie, welcome.
Thank you.
Whoops, wait a minute. It'll be better if I turn your mic on. So let's try it again.
All right.
Good. That works very well.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. So glad to be here.
Well, thanks for being here. Tell us about how this show came about.
Well, I just have always loved Patsy Cline, and we started doing some Patsy Cline tunes a couple years ago, and we decided why not do a tribute. And she has so many wonderful songs, even in her short 5.5 career.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've done that for about 2 years, and then recently we met Mary Cameron, and she has been doing a Loretta Lynn tribute. And of course, Patsy and Loretta were great friends, and Patsy inspired Loretta a lot. And so we decided to join forces and do a show called Loretta and Patsy Together Again. It'll be really fun.
That's kind of a sweet connection where the two of them were great friends, and now the two artists who are doing tribute shows have become friends in the course of doing this.
Yes, we have, yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and how you came to this.
Well, I have been living on the coast for about the last 12 years, and I started in jazz, and then I met my partner, Dean Mueller, and he has a blues background, and I have kind of country roots, and so we just started making music together and realized we really love the Patsy Cline sound, and we're working on an album that's kind of country-like. So we just wanted to bring this great show that we've been doing in Portland and in Canby to sold-out audiences. We wanted to bring that to our coastal community.
And we're glad you have. Can you tell me a little bit about Mary's background?
Mary is a teacher, and her partner, whose name is Gary Thorson. He used to be in Nashville and in Austin, so he is a professional country music pedal steel player.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to do this Loretta Lynn tribute and have done it regionally and has been very successful. But taking it to the coast, they weren't quite sure if they would be able to reach the community here. But since I already have roots and ties here, we decided to join forces. And Mary has this beautiful voice. You can look her up, Mary Cameron, or heyloretta.com. You can also look up our show at julieamici.com.
And that's A-M-I-C-I, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And tickets for let's talk about that. Tickets are available for Loretta and Patsy Together Again, Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn Tribute, at eventbrite.com. That's eventbrite.com. And you can buy your tickets right there online for the NCRD show on March 31st. And if you don't do online stuff, you can get a paper ticket at the Cloud and Leaf Bookstore in Manzanita or at the NCRD. You can just go there and buy a ticket. But we do expect a sellout, so we suggest that you buy your tickets in advance.
Now, the music we played before we started to talk was you?
That was Patsy Cline.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And she was only... she was about 27 years old, 26, 27, when she recorded that. That was her first big hit, Walking After Midnight, from 1957.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit number 2 on the country charts and number 16 on the pop charts. So that was the Nashville sound that was doing the crossover at that time, hitting the pop charts and the country.
She was, and she's sort of synonymous with anybody who mentions country music. I mean, Patsy Cline's name comes up right away, and the same with pop music. She's kind of synonymous with both. Mm-hmm. Do you have favorites among her songs that you like better than others?
Well, one of them is called She's Got You. Mm-hmm. That was her second number one country hit. And Loretta Lynn actually loved that song as well, and she covered it as well.
So how about if we hear a little bit of that, and then we'll continue our talk.
Excellent.
I've got your picture that you gave to me, and it's signed with love, just like it used to be. The only thing different, the only thing new, I've got your picture, she's got you. I've got the records that we used to share, and they still sound the same as when you were here. The only thing different, the only thing new, I've got the records, she's got you. I've got your memory, or has it got me? I really don't know, but I know it won't let me be. I've got your class ring that proved you care, and it still looks the same as when you gave it, dear. The only thing different, the only thing new, I've got these little things, she's got you. I've got your memory, or has it got me? Your class ring that proved you cared, and it still looks the same as when you gave it, dear. The only thing different, the only thing new, I've got these little things, she got you.
Okay, and we are talking with Julie Amici, who, along with her friend Mary Cameron, are doing a tribute show to Loretta Lynn and Patsy Cline, and that's going to take place next weekend on Friday, March 31st. And it will be in the Halem at the North Coast Recreation District Performing Arts Center. And the show is going to begin at 7 p.m. And Julie is with us this afternoon and filling us in a little bit on about the show. Now, you have a backup band that works with you on the show. It's not just the two of you, but you've got a full stage.
We do, yes. We have an amazing set of musicians. We have Carlton Jackson on the drums. And he is an Oregon Music Hall of Fame inductee. We have Dan Gilday on guitar. We have Dean Mueller on the stand-up bass, and he's an internationally known blues man. And we have Gary Thorson on the pedal steel.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about the show itself. Now, it's not just a sequence of songs, but each of you is sort of an authority on the character you're playing, and that's woven in, right?
Right, yeah. So I know all of Patsy's background and what it was like for her growing up and, you know, when she first started doing music. And Mary knows all about Loretta. And so I lead you through the show with a description of her life and what was happening in her life and these songs and how she felt about them. And then Loretta will come on stage with me and we'll do a tune together and talk about their relationship and friendship. And then Mary will continue on with Loretta's history and what has happened through her, I think, 4 decades of her music career. So it's theatrical. It'll be really fun.
Again, let's make sure everyone knows where it is, and that's the North Coast Recreation District Performing Arts Center. That's in the Halem. It's next Friday, March 31st, and the show starts at 7 p.m. And tell us again how you would get tickets for the show.
You can find tickets online at my website, julieamici.com, A-M-I-C-I, or you can go to heyloretta.com, or you can go to the Eventbrite site, which is eventbrite.com. And if you're not tech savvy, you can get a paper ticket from Cloud and Leaf Bookstore in Manzanita or go to the NCRD and get a ticket. But we do suggest you get them in advance because we expect a sellout.
And folks who have been listening to this and think, gee, I'd like to know a little bit more about the two performers, can you give us again your contact info or your website information?
Sure. It's julieamici.com and Mary Cameron's is heyloretta.com.
All right. Well, Julie, it's been a pleasure to talk with you, and I wish you great luck with the show next week.
Thank you, Roger. Thanks for having me.
And this is one stop on a broader tour.
Yeah, we took the show to Canby. We'll be back there again. We've been doing it in Portland, and Mary has been touring regionally already. So we hope to take it on the road together, yes.
And at one point, you two are going to have an album, right?
Mary and I will not, but my partner Dean and I are working on an album right now. It's called Yellow Roses, and it's folk Americana. It kind of combines jazz, blues, and country together. Our producer is Alan Jones, a great blues drummer in Portland. So that's going to come out very soon. We're still working on it.
All right. Well, Julie, thanks very much. It was a delight having you. And
thank you.
I think as we leave here, we're going to play one more cut from your album.
Wow.
Or the Patsy Cline album, at least.
If you got leaving on your mind, tell me now, get it over. Hurt me now, get it over. If you got leaving on your mind, if there's a new if there's a new love in your heart, don't leave me here in a world filled with dreams that might have been. Hurt me now. There's a new love in your heart. Tell me now, get it over. Hurt me now, get it over. If there's a new love in your heart, hurt me now.
And you are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5 FM, streaming live on the web at coastradio.org. And if you're out and about, use the TuneIn app on your mobile device, and you can listen to Coast Community Radio that way. Again, the weather forecast looks like this. It kind of looks pretty much the same for the next few entries here. Today, we're looking for showers, maybe some thunderstorms, maybe some small hail. Highs are around 55, so it's pretty mild out there. But the wind gusting up to 25 miles per hour. And right now we have 52 out on the porch of the Tillicum House here in downtown Astoria. Tonight we're looking for showers. Again, maybe thunderstorms, maybe small hail possible. Lows around 42 and continued breezy, although maybe not as gusty as it was during the day today. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, showers likely, highs of 50 to 55 and lows around 41. And then on Sunday, clouds and rain. That's beginning to sound way too familiar. We're ready for some spring sunshine. We had a little today, if you looked carefully. Diminishing to showers Sunday evening, highs near 51 and lows around 45. Well, we have some serious theater that is coming up here in our area. It's going to be presented by the Liberty Readers Theater, and they've already had 1 week under their belt, and now they're going into the second week. It's a show called Doubt, a Parable, and the performers in it are Susie Brown and Derek Moore, and we're lucky enough to have Susie with us in the studio this afternoon. Welcome, Susie.
Hello.
And without giving anything a way that's going to give anything away, tell us a little bit about the show and what it's about.
Well, John Patrick Shanley has written a script set in 1964, after a year after the assassination of John Kennedy. And not only is the nation in a bit of upheaval, but so is the Catholic Church with moving into Vatican II. And Sister Aloysius Beauvais, which is the part that I play, is steeped in the old traditions. And Father Flynn, played by Derek Moore, is coming in. He's young, he's vibrant, he's excited to make changes, and she's stuck her heels in.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of fuels her dislike of him, and she is rather suspicious of some of his behavior. And so she spends the majority of the play trying to undermine his attempts and trying to get to the truth of the matter.
Mm-hmm. And this is a play that's sort of about moral certainty, and you're not really sure who's right.
That's
and
right.
Who's wrong and
that's right.
Who's doing what. It's sort of mm-hmm. like Oleana in a way, where you're, mm-hmm. you're going back and forth between which is reality
mm-hmm.
and the play. So it's kind of exciting yes. and interesting in that way.
It's very well named.
Very well named. how have you prepared for this now?
Well, as I do with every play, I do quite a bit of research. And I was trying to remember what I was feeling in 1964. And my friends who were, all my best friends were Catholic. I was not.
Mm-hmm.
But I was watching and listening to them when they would come from parochial school and think about what they had said about the nuns. And we also had quite a bit of discussion in rehearsals with Sen and Cavo, who's our director. And he was raised Catholic, so he had much insight to give us. Derek was raised Catholic. The other two actors in this show are Brenus Jones and Laurie Honnell. And Brenus, I believe that Brenus said
two
her
veterans.
Mother was Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and Lori married into the Catholic faith, and then I believe she took her vows so she could raise her daughter that way. So there's quite a bit of just Catholicism floating around, and everybody had things to share.
Does it take you a while to kind of get geared up to be in this character? It's Reader's Theater,
mm-hmm.
but it's a great play for Reader's Theater because so much is carried by the dialogue.
That's correct.
It's a great story. It would be a great story on the radio, wouldn't it?
Yes, I think so. Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing that Sen asked me, he texted me one day and he said, "Could you be mean?" And I didn't know what he was asking, but I wrote him back and said, "Ask any of my former students." So in terms of pulling on the cloak of a teacher and someone who's concerned about students and school, that part was relatively easy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was hard to get underneath all of the things that made her who she was and how sad and unhappy she was with, not with the life she'd chosen, but what had brought her to that life.
Which makes the play richer, the understanding of the character, the context, the background is what I think helps us understand what the motivations are and why a character does what he or she does.
That's right.
Well, tell me a little bit, speaking of context, a little more about yourself and your background and how you came to all of this thespianing.
Well, I've been involved in drama or theater most of my life. I can remember my very first play was when I was 10 years old. Before that, I probably had done lots of little school plays and performances. But the first play that I directed and wrote and starred in, I was 10 years old. And when I got, I knew I was going to be a teacher. That was a done deal. I hadn't even thought of anything else, really. And so when I went to college, it was just a matter of pinning down what did I want to do. And the first weekend I was there, there was a play, and they were looking for ushers. So I showed up to usher, and then I was definitely bitten.
Isn't it wonderful the way theater does that? It gets you, gets its hooks into you because it's fun.
It is.
Because, I mean, that's the bottom line. It's fun and it's satisfying, and there's nothing like a good story. We all like a good story, and this is another great story.
It's wonderful to go to a play where the actors are so enveloped in it that they're telling that story. They are so fleshed out that you have your beautiful three-dimensional story right, unfolding right in front of you.
Because the material in this play is pretty heavy, do you find yourself getting sort of emotionally wrapped up in it each performance? Or
you do have to steel yourself ahead of time because it does take quite a bit out of you emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
But then I am lucky that I can put, not all actors can do this, but I put things aside. When the curtain closes, I put things aside and then go on with other things.
Ready to get on with your real life?
Yeah.
Well, you've got a lot of great veterans in this show. I mean, anybody who's done been involved in going to theater in this community knows Susie Brown. Your name is. But that's true with your director, too, Sen Incavo. And I can't hear his name without remembering him singing "A Pineapple for Me," which I think was in Cabaret at the River Theater many, 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 many moons ago.
Yes.
And yes. It's sad to have the River Theater not with us anymore because they did some wonderful things there.
Yes, I was just talking about that with a friend today, how it affected us in so many ways and brought us to where we are. And then what a big hole in our hearts and also in the space where it was when the day they took that building down.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's this huge loss to this community.
Now, we haven't talked at all about tickets yet. Now, this is being done at the Liberty. Is
yes.
it in the main theater or is it upstairs in the McTavish?
It's in the McTavish room.
Mm-hmm.
And tickets are at the box office. And you can get them right up to curtain time, which is at 7 o'clock. And it's good to try to get there between 6:30 and 7 because we're all on the same flat plane. So if you can sit near the front, that's nice. But there are still tickets.
The performance starts at 7.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And which days of the week are you performing?
This coming Wednesday on March 29th. And then Thursday on the 30th.
So don't think weekend or you're going to miss it. It's Wednesday and Thursday performance.
That's right.
In the McTavish Room at the Liberty. Mm-hmm. And it starts at 7.
Yes,
right?
That's right.
And the lead characters are Susie Brown, who is with us here today, and Derek Moore. And we hope that you will go and check it out because it is a one of those plays that makes you think and feel.
That's correct.
And that's not a bad thing.
That's right.
So, Susie, thanks very much for being with us. Anything I've forgotten to ask that I should have?
I don't think so. I think we got all that information in that we need. Well, Larry Bryant is the tech director, mm-hmm. and without him, people wouldn't see us.
That's right. Larry's a mean man with the lights.
That's right.
So, well, great. Well, I wish you a break a leg.
Thank you, Roger.
You've got a week under your belt, so the opening night jitters aren't there, but any performance, obviously, the adrenaline flows. And well, great. Thanks, Susie.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us.
All right.
You're listening to Coast Community Radio on KMUN Astoria, and we're going to continue in a moment. We've got some other guests lined up. Hope you're enjoying the show. This is Coast Community Radio Arts Live and Local. Carol Newman is gone today. She's off on, one of her adventures. And so my name is Roger Rocca, and I am sitting in. And we are lucky to have as our guests this afternoon, guitarist David Drury. And are you a flutist or a flautist, Shelley?
Flutist.
A flutist. Flutist Sherry Loring Barker, who are part of a trio. There's also bassist Todd Pedersen, and the trio is called Equinox. And you guys are going to be playing next Friday, right?
Yes.
Well, tell us about your show. Oh, wait a minute. Before I talk to you, it would be really good if I was smart enough to turn your microphone up. So there we go.
Aha.
Aha. That's much better, isn't it? So tell us a little bit about your group and the kind of things you play and about this show in particular.
Well, it's basically a jazz-oriented trio,
mm-hmm.
and we actually have been playing the last Thursday of every month at the Bridgewater Bistro Under a different name.
Yeah.
Yes, Basin Street.
You have an alias, huh?
Right, yeah. With special guest Shelley Loring. But we have been playing together as a trio for a few years off and on. Yeah.
Well, I've had the good fortune of hearing you, so I would highly recommend your music to to anyone who loves jazz and loves music. So
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So what about this particular show next Friday?
Well, we're going to do a series of jazz standards, anything from Thelonious Monk to Bill Evans.
Chick Corea,
yeah. And then we're going to do a few tunes that I've written. And
a wonderful arrangement that he did of Norwegian Wood.
Ah.
It's really nice arrangement.
Little Beatles in there, too.
So. Yeah.
Well, whenever we go to listen to Dave, my wife always tries to think of some song that's almost impossible to play on the guitar and ask him to play it. And usually he manages somehow to do it. So
that is so true. He knows everything, and it's all in his head. You ask him to play anything, he knows it. And
she hasn't asked him yet to play the 1812 Overture. But,
oh, okay, well.
But I wouldn't feel safe, Dave. That could be coming.
Oh, no. I'll start shaking when I see her come here.
Well, I've known Dave for quite a few years now, and actually I've known Shelley for quite a few more years than that because we both came from Central California and knew Shelley and her dad and mom down there. And your dad and mom moved up here.
They did, yeah. They lived in Cannon Beach briefly in the 80s.
Now, which was first? Did they come up first and then you came, or did you come first and they came, or how did that work?
I came first. Actually, I'm trying to think. My brother Mark probably came before any of us, although Mark and I were both born in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
But then our family went down to Fresno. And then Mark lived, I think in the 70s maybe. He lived in Cannon Beach for a while, lived in Portland, and then I came up, I think, in the 80s, early 80s, and then my brother David came up, and then my folks came up. So, yeah, we all kind of...
Well, I think moving up in the 80s makes you kind of a quasi-native.
Well, I was actually, though, not on the coast. I was in Portland for until early 90s, and then I came out to the coast.
So we came to the coast about the same time, because I came here in 94.
I guess we did, yeah.
And I guess just to tell everybody a little bit more about Shelley's family, her dad was cantor Michael Loring and a larger-than-life character. And I can't think about Michael without smiling, and his lovely wife, June, who sort of kept him moored to the earth.
She did. She did.
Well, tell us about your playing, Shelley. Have you always specialized in the flute? Has that been your...
Yes. Yeah, really. Well, when I was a lot younger, I played briefly guitar, believe it or not, Dave. But not. It was more to accompany my singing. I sang folk songs and played guitar.
It's hard to do that with a flute.
Right. Yeah. Although there are people that sing into the flute. But and then I did... I studied piano really briefly, but I barely can play anymore. So, yeah, really flute. And early 70s, late 60s, in my late teens, or like 20, something like that, I started playing jazz. I had listened to jazz, actually, because my brother David loved jazz, and he played a lot of jazz albums. He especially liked... Stan Getz and Brazilian jazz, and then my mom was a former big band singer,
right?
And she loved Ella Fitzgerald, so I grew up hearing Ella Fitzgerald, and so I think it's always been there. And then I was really fortunate to play with some very fine musicians in Fresno, who you know, I'm sure, Mike Dana and Rick Helzer, and they were great. And we were all really young, just kids. But then when I went to college and majored in music, I kind of more specialized in classical field and working, you know, towards just working in that
genre, really, but jazz has always still been there. And then Dave got me back into it again.
Well, once you love it.
Once
you hear the kind of music that you were describing that your parents surrounded you with, it kind of seeps into your bones, and there's no way of ever getting away from it. It's just such wonderful, wonderful music.
I think that's true. It does. And I do have to, I was really lucky to have in the early 70s, I got to take, I think, 2 flute lessons with Hubert Laws in New York City. And so that was really exciting. But
yeah. Well, Dave, I hate to say this because I don't want you to make you feel ancient, but you are kind of an institution around here.
Yeah.
Jeez. So most people probably think that you were born as you are. But tell us about your background and how you came to be this person that we know now, this guitarist that can play anything, including maybe in the future the 1812 Overture, if my wife asks for it.
Oh, boy. Well, goodness gracious. Faltering.
You weren't born in a log cabin.
No.
Okay. So we don't have to start there.
I was born in Springfield, Illinois, a land of Lincoln.
Pretty close. Yeah.
Speaking of log cabin. No, I grew up in Phoenix, and during my teens, I had the opportunity to. We started a rock band. And
if you're a teen, what else are you going to do?
That's true.
Yeah.
We played a lot of the current music, you know, the Beatles and Beach Boys and Rolling Stones, and other musicians and other bands, a couple of them were interested in jazz at the time, and we became friends, and a couple of them were very influential on me, and our band formed the nucleus of a group called Mirth that did an album for RCA in 1969.
Wow.
And we moved to Hollywood and were signed for a year to do this album. And
you had to be a young pup at that point.
Well, we were just 21 when we did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And had only been married 3 months and went on the road like that. It was terrible.
And Hollywood at that time had to be a pretty exciting place to be.
It was. Yeah. That's crazy, but it was really exciting.
Well, before I went to college, I was in L.A. for about 6 months because I had a sister visiting there, and I worked at the Stan's Drive-In at Sunset and Vine.
Wow.
So that was fun. With a giant music store right across Kitty Corner from it. It was a neat place. And that was at a time when you could go into the store and you'd get an album and go into the little booth and audition the album in the booth.
Yeah, that's
so
neat.
Different times.
Yeah.
Well, what happened from there, David, after that beginning?
Well, excuse me. To do that little venture, I had to drop out of school at ASU. I was in my senior year as a music major, and I became 1A with the draft right away, of course. But I fortunately got in a National Guard unit because 2 of the band members were already involved in this National Guard unit, and they wanted a band to play for their parties all the time. So I think that was part of the politics. And so anyway, that's... That did kind of throw a wrench into the traveling and promotional part of the Mirth album.
Right.
Put it on hold for a while anyway. And since then, I've been playing music, a variety of styles, actually.
Playing and teaching, right?
Yeah, and teaching. I've taught at Clatsop College for 26 years now, as an adjunct teacher teaching music. And then, goodness, I played at the country club here for about 29 years. People are going to think they have to bring canes to come to this concert here.
Well, I want to assure you that Dave is still spry and dancing in and out of the room. Let's get back to talking a little bit about the show so we don't forget. It's coming up next Friday, March 31st, and it's at Kala, which is kind of a nice space for this. It's a nice, cozy space with good acoustics and great equipment. So, and that will be at 7:30 next Friday at Kala, or the doors open at 7:30.
Yeah.
You're actually going to start playing at 8.
At 8, right?
And tickets will be available at the door.
Right.
Yes.
And I guess they have some beverages and stuff available for people mm-hmm. who want it while they're listening to jazz. That's been known to happen before. So, well, let me hear a little bit. This is just Dave. It's not the whole group, but just kind of a little taste of the kind of music that you're going to hear. Okay, we're back, and what are the things that we haven't mentioned that we should?
Well, we do want to mention that the gracious lady who is putting on this event, Dinah Urell, will be singing a couple songs with us throughout the night. Mm-hmm. And
then something that's really special for me is that my son, Johnny Barker, is going to join us on drums and possibly percussion, too, I'm not sure, but on one or two songs. And so that's real exciting for me to be able to play with him in this kind of way.
He does a wonderful job, you know, and it's so important to approach this from an educational standpoint, in a sense, you know, mm-hmm. to keep things going.
Right.
Well, thank you both for coming in. It's going to be a great concert from two very nice people. And it's next Friday at Kala, and doors open 7:30. The show starts at 8, and you can get your tickets at the door for Equinox, made up of guitarist David Drury, bassist Todd Pedersen, and flutist Shelley Loring Barker. Thanks very much for coming in, folks.
Thank you.
All right, and let's see. Oh, we've got Catherine Clare is going to be in town, so let's play a little bit of her music.
So pretty was my still shone in the firelight, and I said, laddie, stay a while, the day needs nothing from you yet, just walk beside me for a mile, and say the words we'll soon forget, say
to take that down for just a moment to let you know that Catherine Clare is going to be at Kala. They're hosting an album release concert for her at 8 tomorrow evening, and Catherine will be joined on stage by her band, and they'll be releasing video from the album at the show. The new album, Bones Will Last, explores both personal and universal themes of loss, love, and transformation, with stories and melodies rooted in Clare's classical and traditional music background. You can find out more at www.CatherineClaireMusic.com. That's CatherineClaireMusic.com. And Kala is located at 1017 Marine Drive. You've been listening to Arts Live and Local on Coast Community Radio. This is Roger Rocca sitting in while Carol is off adventuring. So glad that you could be with us today, and I hope you enjoyed the show. We've had some great people on and found out some nice things about what they're going to be doing. A reminder once again that tonight we will have the opening of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, with the Peninsula Players, so you might want to catch opening night. This is KMUN Astoria, 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5 at coastradio.org.